I'm not sure what you got in mind, but I like you working on me. Oh, add your hands and sing it louder. Come on now. I like you working on me. 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 I'm not sure what you got in mind, but I like you working on me.
This is the surprise show.
Show number 13. And it's surprising.
He throws these things on me. He surprises me more than anyone else.
It's a surprise that we could do another show. We're fresh off of show number 12, the Belgian show, which for those of you who haven't enjoyed a good Belgian beer, it's really high in alcohol. And we're just enjoying ourselves immensely with the different Belgians. And a little side note of Allagash. And so...
They're dry and fruity.
Yeah.
And sweet. And
they
are wonderful.
Speaking of which, we have two more beers.
Yes, we do.
We have fruity beers. So I don't know if we should call this the Fruity Show.
Sure, let's go for it.
But we're confident in our masculinity that we can.
These are the Lindemans. So we have a Petch.
The Lindemans, yeah.
Petch Lambic. And
yeah. And the Creek. And the thing about these, that a Lambic beer... So let's just be talk around the beer for a minute. A lambic is a style of beer that typically is accompanied with fruit, right? All the lambics you ever see, you got a little fruit in it. But what I know from looking at this is that the brewing style makes this very similar to what you call an old brown or oud brun beer. And that is a sour ale. So this is kind of like a first cousin of a sour ale, which is one of my most favored beers that you can never, ever find, and your sister-in-law is supposed to bring.
Yeah, which I'm still trying to get a hand on. Yeah.
And we almost had the Wisconsin connection going, but...
We do. We just have to...
It's going to happen.
Have it maturate. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because doing my Costco shopping... A little hint for everyone.
That's right.
Sam Adams has come out with their winter collection, and what do they have? They have a cranberry lambic.
Yes, and we had that before, a year or two ago, at the Christmas party.
Did we? Okay.
Sam Adams, that's one of their better beers.
See, I didn't note it at the time, but I am excited.
It's a good beer.
To go out and get some of that.
It is a good beer. I'm kind of on the fence about Sam Adams. I applaud them because they got beer with taste.
Yeah.
But they are obviously gone commercial on us.
Yeah, but they love their hops.
They love their hops. And that cranberry lambic, I've had that before, and I know that's good. The Creek beer is, I think, the closest to a sour ale that you can get. And I love this particular one.
You were going to make a batch of this, weren't you?
I still am. Okay. I'm going to, and I've got to get on it pretty soon. That would be an excellent Christmas beer.
Well, as we open these in the segments to come, we'll go ahead and read the descriptions that are on the bottles.
And let me just say that we opened the show with Rich Harper Band, Working on Me. And this is kind of a little eclectic collection of blues music for this show. And I thought the Rich Harper Band was really good light voiced fella, and good song. I got a guy coming up that I'm not going to say his name. And if you have listened to music for any length of time, you will know who this guy is. He's got such a distinctive voice. And if you ever listen to any kind of blues or kind of folk-oriented blues...
He's still alive?
He's still alive. Okay. This is new. So anyway, we're drinking some beer... We barely talked about cooking on the last show. We kind of dissed some of the other...
I haven't cooked in a while. I had some ribs in my hand today.
Yeah.
And I'll pick them up tomorrow. I had the question of, do you want them or do you need them? I want them. So.
Now, is it just me, or is the price of ribs and stuff...
They're ridiculous.
It's high, isn't it?
Yeah, meat is extremely high, especially beef.
Does this have any kind of thing to do with hurricanes?
No.
Everything seems to be tied to it.
Unless it's the transport, the cost of fuel.
Okay, there you go. See, we can blame everything. And I noticed an article in the paper the other day guaranteeing us that our heating costs for natural gas have gone up 50 to 70%.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yep. I expect this to trickle down to beer.
Yes.
It's going to happen.
The cost of beer will go up.
The transportation. How are they cooking it? I know we use propane in the big bottles to cook the beer, but surely they'll find some way to do it. It's just it's a grim time for the natural gas.
Yeah.
So and
meanwhile, and, oil companies are making record profits.
Yeah, they are. And you sent the photo.
Of course, I don't
around.
Have oil stock. I'm a dumbass.
We've got to put that picture online that you sent around of the was that a Katrina survivor?
The guy floating is his girl and his beer.
Yeah, he's like floating through, you know, trying to wade out, and he's got this big piece of plywood. His girlfriend's sitting on it, surrounded by beers.
Yeah,
it was classic.
Pretty good selection of beer, actually.
Yeah, so. Yeah, he did. He had a little bit of everything. So, you
classic
know,
burnout.
There's always a light at the end of the hurricane.
Yeah, that was funny.
So. Let's take a break, and we're going to listen to this guy, whose name I'm not going to say, and see if you can figure out who he is. Once he gets into the chorus, you'll know exactly
who
this guy is.
I'm going to start to open the creek.
All right, and we're going to come back and have us some landing.
Bomb pounding in my lungs. Ship to
all missed the popping of the cork.
Yeah,
I can simulate it, though.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. That was artificially created cork popping. We popped the top on the lambic. Now, this is, they are not fooling around with this beer. It has foil. You unwrap the foil. Then you've got a cap you have to pry off. Then you have to use your corkscrew on it. They are making sure nothing comes out.
And the really fine bubbles that we talked about in our first show.
And this
show.
Is a the Lindeman's Creek, and you can probably find this at a supermarket. Or
that looks very much like the one I like, the Framboise.
The Framboise, yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a very popular beer in Belgium. They're a very big distributor.
Now, you have to tell me about this because I don't really know the style. What is
the lambics?
No, what's the Creek?
Oh, Creek is cherry.
Oh, but, okay.
Creek is also, if you look at the recipe, and this is why I say it's similar to a sour ale, it's got a little bit of the toasted oak chips in it, and they do a second fermentation.
Oh, really?
The cherries or the flavoring is added in the second batch.
Yeah, I've read recipes for this. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to try.
And the Creek recipes I have seen call for a second or even a third strain of yeast in in there.
That sounds complicated, doesn't it?
Well, it is, but it's. I mean, this is and we keep.
You start talking about special aging and double and third fermentation.
Yeah.
That's hard for a home brewer, but let me read what the bottle says.
Okay.
It says Lindeman's Creek is a lambic made from local barley, unmalted wheat, well, that's interesting, and a wild yeast. After spontaneous fermentation, that means they leave it open.
That's the wild yeast.
They leave it
In a vat.
And I guess the yeast falls from the rafters in the and wherever they're aging it, but. After spontaneous fermentation, lambic is aged in oak.
Aha.
Black cherries are added, creating a secondary fermentation. And yielding an ale of exceptional flavor and complexity. You know your stuff. Yeah.
All right, that was completely unrehearsed.
Yeah.
All right. So. Well, good. I'm glad to see I wasn't completely under the influence of the previous Belgian ales.
So I guess your home brewer would have to go out and buy some oak casks.
Well, they sell at your Better Homebrew Supplies. You can buy toasted oak chips or regular oak chips. Throw it in the oven. Toast it a little bit.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So,
I want to give a shout out to Midwest Supplies. If you haven't checked them out, they say they're the king of kits, and they've got lots and lots of kits.
And you mentioned them before, and I know you bought things from them. They need to front us some kind of toys.
Well, I mean, looking for. I've got a whole shopping list. I'm taking a class at the local community college for XML tagging, and I put up my little Christmas list of things I wanted, and most of it was from Midwest Supplies.
Oh, so you did you used your new computer knowledge to tied in with beer.
That's right. I always do. All my class projects are related to brewing beer of some sort.
Well, you got your priorities right. So.
It amuses my teachers, I think.
Now, we were talking offline, and, you know, I haven't mentioned who the guy was. I digressed again. The guy that we were listening to, if you hadn't figured it out by now, and, of course, I'm just assuming everybody listens to all kinds of stuff, and I told Rick, I said, oh, it's this guy, and he goes, who's that?
Yeah.
It's John Hyatt. And John Hyatt has been on the scene for a long time.
So we're talking around the blues.
Yes. We don't just talk around beer. We talk around blues. We'll talk around just about anything.
We talk around smoking.
Smoking, cooking, whatever. You name a subject. Neurosurgery. We'll talk around it. That was John Hyatt, Master of Disaster. And I've been a John Hyatt fan for a while. He was... He's always kind of been on the periphery. He really never got mainstream play. He like edge into every once in a blue moon a little top 40 thing, like on your more interesting FM stations. I guess it wasn't even top 40.
Just his name, or did he?
No, he'd have a couple of songs on there. He's been around. He's a known player.
Okay.
He's one of these guys that all of the musicians know about. And so he's got a very distinctive voice, as you just heard. And so good luck with him on this new John Hyatt sound, and is everything that we play is available on music.download.com. Be sure to go there, and all the artists that you hear, I want you all to go out and buy several of their albums right now. Right now. Come back to us when you're done. Okay, now you're back, and we're enjoying the creek. And what do you think about this? I think this is
it's a lot of cherry. Now that you mention it, it's a lot of cherry.
But do you get the little sour bit?
Yes, I do.
See, that's the sour ale.
Yeah, the little taste zones on your tongue.
Yeah, and that
sour's coming through
big time. That's where the cherries work with that secondary fermentation.
Speaking of sour, I want to ask your opinion of my home brew, the hazelnut.
Oh, the hazelnut. Yeah, you said, and we didn't get this on tape, you said you thought it was a little harsh. I thought it came out great.
Okay.
The flavoring, you got inspired by an earlier show, by an earlier beverage, the hazelnut,
the brown Rogue hazelnut.
From Rogue.
Yeah.
Which is a fine beer, and so you got a kit. Was that a Midwest?
That one was, no, that was a... The supplier I won't mention because
okay.
Don't,
oh,
like
that's the one.
Much.
That's right. You did talk about that
I
before.
Had some problems
yeah, you had
with
a little
him.
Bit of problems. But anyway, I thought it was really good. I enjoyed it, and I think you should bring several more over.
I will.
And they were
I've
very good.
Them,
it had a definite nutty flavor and a finish. And you know, I guess this is
as
one
far
of
as a beer that you want to look at it. It
yeah.
looks really good because it has a great
yeah.
head. It has a nice color to it. A nice.
Yeah. Smell good.
Smell
good, yeah. But this is one of those things where, you know, because we talk around beers. That's our slogan now. We talk around beers. We, you know, as people who enjoy a beer, we don't really put labels on it. We don't call ourselves purists where we poo-poo on one style or the other. We try a little bit of everything, get a little adventurous. And just enjoy beer for beer's sake.
We like what we like.
Exactly. And
now,
and
one thing I do want to mention about that homebrew is I didn't give the original yeast enough time. It was a California 5 or 4 from White Labs, and I thought it died during shipping because it was the middle of summer and extremely hot when I received my package and been back of the truck for about 3-4 days. So I went ahead and added some of the... starts with Nottingham yeast,
yeah.
The dry yeast.
Yeah.
And it kind of came up with a little bit of a sour taste, I think.
Yeah, well,
it's
kind of
sour now.
It was very good. I enjoyed it immensely. I thought it was a very good beer. It's not quite the same.
It'll probably age.
But that kind of goes to what I was saying is that, you know, you can, if you just stick with commercial beers, you're never going to know what you're missing. You need to branch out, try a little bit of everything. Don't pigeonhole yourself into one thing. Like what you like, but if you don't try from the whole buffet that there is of beers, you're never going to know what all it's like. You know, there's.
And for people who are thinking about a home brewing, there will be at least one mistake every batch.
Oh yeah,
you've
absolutely.
Done something wrong.
My Scotch ale, which I had such high hopes for, it was just it's pathetic. I forced myself this afternoon to drink a couple of them. But, and yeah, it's still kind of bad. But I got hope for it. I think, you know, that's the other thing, though, about beers. If it may not be that great at
it
first,
it won't kill you.
Let it sit.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
These
about
things do
beers.
Mellow with age.
They age. As long as you're buying, and this holds true also for beers you buy at the store. As long as you're not getting a lagered beer, an ale is more subject to aging, especially one that tells you on the label. It's bottle fermented, bottle conditioned. And just like you just read on, the Allagash one?
No, actually the...
It was good for celery. Was it Corson?
Corson Dunks.
I think
yeah.
It's both of them. But these are beers that...
They're bottle conditioned and they'll mature.
They change over time. So we got to talk about food for a minute. And one of the things we were kicking around... Was we haven't been cooking that much. We talked a little on the previous show
well,
about
I'm
it.
Pouring slabs and getting
yeah,
mortar
getting
and fire bricks and all this other stuff.
And so what we're going to talk about, we're going to take a break, listen to one more little bit of music, and we come back and talk about Memphis Barbecue. And you're getting it right here,
yeah.
Right here from the source, live in Memphis. And we're not any Food Network thugs telling you whatever the sponsors telling us to say. We're giving you the lowdown. So let's take a break, and this is one of my...
we'll talk about our local barbecue restaurant.
Absolutely. And Rick says, let me tell you about where I went to eat, and I knew exactly where he was talking about. We're going to cover that in a minute. This is one of the guys you've heard before on the show, Bernie Clark and the Rhythm Sharks, Love Recession.
Have me a dollar right now for every pretty woman I'm gonna meet. They'll be taking me out to dinner. Man, those ladies be packing my lunch. Just cause your love's in recession don't mean this boy got a funeral crunch. I withdraw you from my memory banks since it's on that account. But I have new deposits, baby, in amazing amounts. Gonna stop me a new career, a bust of doors and breaking house. I'll have so many lovely ladies lined up, are gonna need me some extra parts. They'll be buying me fancy presents, later on it'll be my treat. Just cause your love's in recession don't mean this boy got a few no heat. Job, I won't be standing in your welfare line. They'll be begging me for favors. Oh man, no play to be on their knees. Just cause your love's in recession don't mean this boy gotta feel no squeeze.
Oh, that was a letdown.
Here, simulated.
That should have been a better cork pop.
Okay, this is the Petch Flambic. Belgian Petch Ale.
The Petch, which is
peach,
Belgian,
I assume.
Yeah, peach.
Lindemann's Petch is a lambic made from local barley, again, unmalted wheat, which is very strange.
Yeah.
And wild yeast. We heard the story about that.
Now, what is
it? It says the same thing. After spontaneous
unmalted
fermentation.
Yeah.
I don't know about unmalted.
Right, so
I know that
they throw in peaches instead of cherries.
They talk about 2-row malted and 6-row malted.
Yeah.
And
so this is just wheat, what, as an adjunct that is chunking some grain?
I think so. Hmm. What is an unmalted wheat? I need to find out.
Okay. Well, once again, desperately to the listeners. Fred, weigh in on this.
All right.
All right, so we're pouring a little bit of the Pesh, and I have had this already.
Let's say it's more like a blonde.
I gave some of this to my wife, and she said, tastes like beer. So,
did she?
Yeah.
No, she's the one who thinks that beer tastes like bile.
Yeah, that's her.
So I guess for her to say it tastes like beer probably means it's good, right?
Yeah, well, you know, she wasn't really down on it, and I like it. I like it fine, but it's not like the Creek. It's... it's kind of like, you remember we had the Dogfish Head Ale flavored with apricots. It was called Apri-Hop
a while back. Yes, I do remember
that. We were sitting outside and had that. And that's one of those where the fruit complements rather than dictates the taste of the beer. When you drink a Creek, you taste cherries.
Yes.
So this kind of adds to it. It's not, you know, you know it's there, but it's not like overwhelming. I think this this peach that we're drinking here has a little bit more flavor than you would.
It's pretty fruity.
Pretty fruity, but like the Apri-Hop, I think it's one of those that it adds to it. But it's not quite like the cherry one, which was cherries. You know, you had cherries in there.
Did we do the Dogfish? Is Doghead?
No, we were
part of a show
sitting outside.
Oh, okay.
No. That was one of those where it was an off mic moment. Off mic moment, right. And so we were going to talk about Memphis Barbecue. We just got through listening to Bernie Clark and the Rhythm Sharks. And those guys, they're really pretty good. I encourage you to go to music.download.com, visit their website, buy their records, you know, make them a dollar or two.
Okay, so everybody that comes to Memphis, you're going to fly in, you're going to see Graceland, right? Because you got to do your pilgrimage.
You've got to go pay your homage to the king.
Pilgrimage to Elvis.
That's
right. I still haven't been out there, but I assume it's pretty nice.
I took some people over there.
Did you? Good for you. Yeah. Locals don't go there, actually.
No, we don't. You know, we got Elvis down the street. We can go see him anytime we want, and so therefore we never do.
And we know he's not dead yet.
So. No, he's not dead yet. He's working at the Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
So anyway, you get to your hotel. You're close to Beale Street. Beale Street's a wonderful rocking time. I love that place.
It is a little bitty Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
About a block of Bourbon Street, although not as crazy.
Yeah.
And excellent blues. King's Palace Cafe. Excellent blues. That is the
Blue City Cafe is a great place to eat.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
that's
it is.
Where Clinton ate when he came to town.
And there's a lot of really, you can't go wrong going in any of them. Rum Boogie's got great red beans and rice
and food
and any food you get off of there. They've been around forever. B.B. King's legendary blues player, and the food's right. And they got a live band at 6 p.m. That's the only happy hour band.
And B.B. King is under contract to show up 4 times a year.
Yeah, whether he likes it or not, because his name is
out front. Yeah, exactly, whether he likes it or not, because I don't think he actually likes it.
Well, you know, we got to enjoy him while we can, because he's diabetic, and he's, what, 80 years old now?
And he's doing commercials.
Yeah, doing commercials.
Anyway, we digress.
So we were talking about barbecue.
You come into town, you go see Graceland, the concierge at your hotel is going to say, go to Rendezvous.
Right. And Rendezvous for Ribs is never a bad choice. It is touristy, but it's also where a lot of Memphis goes.
That's Memphis style. If you want to have your introduction to Memphis style, the Rendezvous is the place.
Yeah.
Now, if you want wet rib, you go out to
Corky's.
Yeah. All right. So that's a secondary place that all you tourists are going to go to.
Yeah.
Now, when you fly into Memphis, if you fly northwest, you will see Interstate Barbecue.
They're in the airport now.
In the terminal.
Yep, they are. And that is one of my personal favorites.
Yeah.
And I've had the ribs, too. The ribs are good. But I still think a Rendezvous, hands down for ribs, is my personal favorite locally, with one exception.
The Central Barbecue.
The Central Barbecue.
Which is over by Christian Brothers University.
That's right.
Central and Highland?
Airways.
Airways turns.
What do they call it? North Parkway?
Yeah.
North Parkway and Central. Hang a left or a right, depending on the direction you come from, towards the river. And Central Barbecue is there. And this guy, don't know his name, been featured on Food Network.
Yes, he has.
And the thing
for
about
his
him,
nachos.
For his nachos. I didn't see that one, but I did see him on the ribs. And he told Bobby Flay, here's what's in my rub. He gave the secret away, which is completely opposite what anybody else will do. Barbecue secrets are legendary here in Memphis. So this guy says, oh, well, let me tell you what I put into it. Because it's not knowing how to put the ingredients on. It's the
doing
fire.
Consistently it's, over a period of time.
Exactly. The fire, the pit, the service, the staff. and they've got a good beer selection, too.
Yes, they do.
You went in there for
lunch?
I went
at lunch. Yeah. It was a working lunch, so I didn't really get an opportunity to sample their wares. But, yes, they did. They had balls and bottles of beer.
Right.
And they all looked yummy.
They have Sierra Nevada on tap. Always a good sign if you got something other than the Budweiser on tap. And Central Barbecue serves the loin back rib. So you got those nice thick fingers of meat between the bones.
And I ordered it dry.
Yeah.
Meaning there was nothing on it. It was just the rib.
They put the rub on it.
Yeah,
right?
Sure, they
cook it. And but yeah, you
but know it wasn't it. Like at Rendezvous where they coat the rib with their seasoning.
And that's their way of presenting it. After they pull it out, they hit it again. With the Rendezvous seasoning, there you go. Yeah. And Central, it's like they pull it out, here you go. If you want seasoning, if you want sauce, it's over there. And they tell you about it.
Yes, and they do. They had five different sauces. So yeah. I thought that was pretty remarkable.
And I take it the same way you do, how it comes out of it. And it is fantastic.
And I heard these guys have only been in business 2-3 years now?
Yeah, because they were on the tour before doing a competition.
So they're competition barbecues.
Yeah. Yeah, they know what they're doing, and I was telling Rick about one of the things about Memphis barbecue restaurants, I might have mentioned a show or two or three ago about how I was in North Carolina, and I had a really good barbecue, and come to find out, much to my dismay, it was electric smokers. There was no wood involved.
Heat is heat,
but, you know, there's a difference. There's the whole natural thing, and... At Central Barbecue, they had this big stove out in back, and that's what cooks the barbecue. Drives the smoke in there. You see piles of hickory. They go out and split it in the morning. They throw it into tubs and soak it. And so this is about as down home and backwards as you can get, and it's a wonderful product.
Place in Memphis that was featured on Bobby Flay's show is the barbecue shop.
Down on
Madison.
Oh, right? The Madison one. Yeah. Been there.
Great place. The barbecue, spaghetti. Mm-hmm. Delicious. Yeah. You know, you can get some pulled pork with some barbecue.
And I'm wondering, is that a regional thing for us, barbecue spaghetti?
They said they created it.
Yeah. Well, we see it around
actually,
here.
Actually, it's Coletta's.
Coletta's has it. Interstate has it. Barbecue shop
Coletta's
has it.
Barbecue pizza also.
Oh, yeah. And that... was my first and still the best barbecue pizza.
Yeah.
Coletta's, So Memphis, as you might have guessed...
And we do this for lunch. We go, where are you going to go? I don't know. Where's a good barbecue place? Yeah. And we figure out where we're going to go.
So it's not just a Food Network, Rachel Ray, Bobby Flay thing. This is, you know, people in Memphis. They go and you cannot go to a barbecue restaurant and not have a line a mile long. And they're not always tourists.
And Dick has two smokers.
Yeah. Well, that you know of.
Yeah. And I'm building my second. And my buddy just went out and got the Oklahoma Joe's smoker
Oklahoma
from Sands Club.
That's supposed to be a very good smoker. I hope he has a little...
Wow.
I hope it doesn't turn out to be a charcoal hog like mine, apparently.
I have a feeling it will be because it's going to take... See, the thing about my brick one is it's got a nice thermal mass, and hopefully once you get that thermal mass
heated, your bricks are going to
stay
hot.
Yeah. But I think that the thin aluminum or
regular
metal smokers, they're going to lose heat.
I think I have moved on my smoker into the next level where I'm doing more volume.
Yeah.
So I feel good about not having put my old smoker out to the curb. But, you know, that's one of those things that I guess you gravitate towards as you cook more and more. I found a local
10-minute segment, Dick.
Well, we're digressing. All right. Rick's cutting
we're
me
rambling.
Out. All right. Now, this is another one that I grabbed this off the internet, and I thought I was looking for some harmonica. I wanted some harp blues. And I found that I saw this guy. I will probably mangle his name to death. This fella is from Poland. He's the renowned master, number one harp player, harmonica, in Poland. He's had a radio show for 14 years. He's known all over Poland and in Eastern Europe. And his name is Slawik Wierzchowski. I hope to God I'm saying that right.
Exactly the way it's spelled.
Exactly the way it's spelled. And I usually have pretty good luck pronouncing these names. But this is called On, On, On. And it's got some chicky singing the blues. And I have no idea what she's saying, but it sounds really good. And you hear him play a little harp on it.
Fred, help us out.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Fred. We need you to correct our pronunciation here. I'll try and type his name on the website, and somebody tells how in the hell you say this. So let's enjoy a little Slowik with On, On, On.
Lubisz, kiedy mówisz, obojętnie to, bo choć mu nie wierzysz, lubisz jego głos. Nigdy nie wiesz, kiedy znów pojawi się. Nie wiesz, kiedy czasem myślisz sobie, niech go trafi szlak. Pytasz, czy to długo, można jeszcze tak. Lecz co możesz zrobić, jak masz walczyć, gdy jeden jego uśmiech broń wytrąca ci. Czasem jest ci głupio, czasem jest ci wstyd i chcesz się zbuntować, skończyć wreszcie z tym. Lecz choć sobie mówisz to ostatni raz, wiesz, że będziesz czekać nawet 100 lat.
The big pour.
The glug, glug, glug.
Okay, so we're about out of our Belgians and
our fruit beers.
So we're sliding down to a Belgian style. This is Belgian style ale brewed in Montreal, which is believed to be its own country, found inside of Canada.
Sure.
And this is probably one of my most favorite beers. Le Fin du Monde. I love this beer.
Triple fermentation. Unfortunately, it doesn't describe itself.
Well, they do on their website. This is a golden ale, they describe it. And it does say Belgian style. It's very effervescent. And I believe if you look for the alcohol content, it's between 9 or around 9 or 10 percent alcohol. Very high.
Seriously?
Alcohol.
Oh, that's high. Okay.
But it's very light. You never know.
So drink carefully.
Yeah.
Do not drink and drive.
So we were talking about Memphis barbecue, and I think we're pretty agreed on ribs. For ribs that are finished with a little bit extra, Rendezvous. For straight-up ribs, Central.
Some people don't like Rendezvous.
Well, you know, this is the thing. I know about the Rendezvous, and that's Greek seasoning.
Oh, is it?
The Virgos family has been a fixture in Memphis since, I think, the early 40s, when they opened like a hot dog stand and downtown. And then it evolved, and somehow they got to cooking barbecue. They threw these Greek seasonings on there, and the rest was history. But Rendezvous is really, they're very well known. Everybody goes there. It's a very distinctive seasoning. It works great. It's one of the few seasonings I've seen that has like a whole peppercorns and dill and some other things. But I think if you think of barbecued ribs, smoked ribs, they are about mainstream as you can get and will not disappoint.
Now, one of the things about Rendezvous and A&R and places like that is you're not going there for the environment. You're going there for the food. The Rendezvous, you're downstairs in a basically an alley.
Yep. Across from the Peabody.
Across from the Peabody by Beale Street.
Yep.
And you're sitting at a picnic table. Not really a picnic table, but it's a plain table. Yeah. And the same guys have been working there for 40 years.
The new guy's only been there 50 years. The waiters, they do not fool around. Get
now,
your
have
ass
you been
in,
to A&R?
Eat. No, I have not.
A&R is on Elvis Presley Boulevard.
Yeah.
So it's in the hood.
All right.
I love
that.
You have
hood.
To be a little adventurous to get out there, but...
Is it
the
worth
black
the
folk, I know. They say it's the best barbecue in Memphis. Yeah.
Now, you know, I know that there are some others out there that, and real honestly, you know, when you go into these restaurants, if you got an appreciation for it, it doesn't matter what color or creed you are. They're glad to have you. And that's pretty much true.
Everybody appreciates barbecue. That's
absolutely.
Universal language around here.
Absolutely. There is no discrimination at all in any of the restaurants I've ever been to. I mean, if you want to find your multicultural union of all races, shapes, creeds, colors, sizes,
go to Elvis Presley Boulevard.
Go to Elvis Presley Boulevard.
A&R Barbecue.
A&R Barbecue. Okay. And now what about for a sandwich? Chopped, pulled, slice.
Now, I have two friends who are really into the pulled pork sandwiches, and they're kind of trying them out, and they really think the barbecue shop is the place.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, see, I wouldn't have gone there. I am partial to Interstate myself. Now, I like the barbecue shop. Now, is it really a pulled barbecue?
Yeah, I think it is.
Interstate is not. It's chopped. It's a chopped, and I personally pull my barbecue. And
see, I always go and get the ribs. Because I'm looking for the perfect set of ribs. I mean, and I think I found it at Central.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think Central's great. But for barbecue, going to get you a good sandwich, and of course, you know, you have those elements that go with the barbecue sandwich that can skew it either way. The sauce, the slaw.
Slaw, right.
The whole nine yards. But just for the, I like the meat at Interstate. Neely's has been around doing it, Jim Neely, forever, and has spawned his nephew, I think it is, that has Neely Brothers.
Now, as far as the Interstate ribs, they have the gristle, so they're using the spare rib.
They're a spare rib.
You have to you either eat that stuff or you spit it out. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, see, and
or
that's
you spit or swallow.
And that's
as far as the gristle.
Alrighty then.
So, well, which one?
That's one of those. I've not had the ribs at Interstate, and I didn't.
You got the gristle that you got. You got to decide. Am I gonna?
Yeah.
I had a friend who they had a rib tip sandwich. Right. He ate the whole thing.
Yeah.
I tried eating it. Man, I was pulling the gristle out, pulling the gristle out. I can't eat that stuff.
I tell you another place to go: rib tip sandwich. And this place. They got good barbecue. All right, you don't stay in business long if you don't have good barbecue. These guys have been in business I don't know how long, and they are down in the more industrial section of Memphis. You would not find this on any kind of tourist guidebook. It's Tom's Barbecue.
Yeah, I'm trying.
You hadn't heard of that, probably.
No.
They are down. If you get on Getwell Road, heading towards where Getwell and Rains. Crosses. It's back there in that kind of industrial section where Pilot and BF Goodrich and Boulevard and all of those.
Is that where they make the Blue Moon beer?
It's
in that range?
Very near that, yes, sir.
Okay.
And what that is it is a barbecue pit
By the
place.
Way, Blue Moon is brewed in Memphis.
Yeah, the Blue Moon Belgian White Ale.
Yeah,
that's from here, baby. So Tom's Barbecue, the one thing I'll say about them, they got good food. No doubt. And the rib tip sandwich, and they got some barbecue bologna, too. Very good.
I love the barbecue bologna. I saw how it was made, and...
No, you don't want to know how
they deep fry it.
But
they deep fry the meat.
But Tom's has the most fantastic service. You can't sit down. There are no tables for you inside. You walk in, you get in the line. As soon as you get in there, you think, oh, my God, I'm going to be here all day because there's 20 people in front of me. And then you notice they're moving through one after the other after the other. You step up. They say, what do you want, baby? What do you want? And you just call out your order. Call out your order. And they're singing it to the back. Get over there and wait. And here it comes. And they're just routing you through. You cannot spend more than 10 minutes in that place. It is the most phenomenal act of service that you've ever seen. And they're processing these people through quality food. You're in, you're out. You pay a good price, you get a good meal, and you're on your way.
There's a bar on Beale Street. It's just off Beale Street. And you walk in, they pinch your ass, and they call you baby. And they say, what do you want? Well, and all they got are 40-ounce beers, man.
Which bar is this?
Oh, it's...
Oh, now you can't go saying stuff like this and not know which one it is.
It's something Hollywood.
Hollywood? Is off of Beale or on
Beale? Yeah, off Beale.
Okay. Yeah. Well, just...
That place picks up around 2 a.m.
Okay. Right? Now, and there are some... there's the senior side of Beale Street and adjacent areas that once you get around... Yeah, like you're saying, around 2 or 3, that maybe that's... that may be one of those off-site visits we'll have to do. And do a little live from Beale Street.
Yeah.
Or something. Beale Street. So... We covered shoulders, we covered ribs, we got rib tips, we even touched some bologna.
Here.
Yep, and you can't go wrong. And
so I just need to know when people are eating the rib tip sandwiches, do you like eat the whole thing or do you like get rid of the gristle?
Well,
because it's a matter of preference.
The ones I've had ate the whole thing, so that may be right, that may be wrong, but that's what I did. So we're going to close it out. I've got, this is kind of an interesting song. This fellow was a favorite of Bob Dylan, I'm told, according to the press release.
Ooh, saw a Bob Dylan concert with Willie Nelson this summer.
Oh, you told me about that.
Not good.
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of those things that sometimes the memory is better than the reality.
Well, he has enough money that he could afford to hire a singer.
Who?
Bob Dylan.
Well, then it wouldn't be Bob Dylan anymore.
Yeah, but you don't need to hear Bob Dylan going, hey, hey.
But that's his deal. That's what he sings. So you think he's kind of over himself now? Okay.
I think Bob Dylan needs to hire a singer, is what I think.
Oh, man.
People were really disappointed.
Well, you know, with the millions of people we got listening out there.
You know,
I think somebody might be a Bob Dylan fan out there.
Well, I think he's a Memphis local, isn't he? He
Bob
lived here
Dylan?
For a long time.
Yeah, you know, everybody lives here. Oh, we got Steven Seagal living here now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He bought a house out here. We got Steven Seagal. Hell,
the worst actor.
Yeah, if we even got Bob Dylan, you're not opinionated
at all. He can come kick my ass, I guess, but he is the worst actor in Hollywood.
All right, then. Well, now, you say you just assume he's an actor.
So is this the show? Are we done?
I think we're done.
All right, I'm going to sign out. So y'all, drive safe.
Drive safe. That's right. We'll leave the light on for you. And this is Blind Arvella Gray. There's more pretty girls than one. See you next time.
There's more pretty girls than one. There's more pretty girls than one. I ramble around from town to town. There's more pretty girls than one. Don't cry, little girlie, don't cry. Don't cry, little girlie, don't cry. If you cry, you will spoil your blue eyes. There's more pretty girls than one. More pretty girls than one. There's more pretty girls than one. I ramble around from town to town. There's more pretty girls than one. I'm going out west this fall. I'm going out west this fall. I'm going out west where I can do bit. There's more pretty girls than one. More pretty girls than one. There's more pretty girls than one. I ramble around from town to town. but more pretty girls than one. I'm a long, long ways from you. Long, long ways from you. Long ways from you, and I'm feeling so blue. But more pretty girls than one. There are more pretty girls than one. There are more pretty girls than one. I ramble around from town to town, but more pretty girls than one. I'll return to you. I'll return to you. Return to you, cause I'm feeling so blue. But more pretty girls than one. Don't cry, little girlie, don't cry. Don't cry, little girlie, don't cry. If you cry, you will spoil your blue eyes. But more pretty girls than one. There's more pretty girls than one. And more pretty girls than one. I ramble around from town to town, but there are more pretty girls than one.